If somebody looked at Haaretz.com today, so there's an ad on the side on the internet. You know, they have like these like they put up on the other day from Gavi Zeitlin that that AOL had had inappropriate pictures on the side of their website. So you know, everybody's got these ads on the side of their website. If you look on the Haaretz today, they have this ad. I'm not even sure who it's for, but they have an ad that says recycling could be dangerous. And they have a picture of Oslo and a picture of Camp David and a picture of Annapolis, and says it's time to think outside the box and find the real way to peace. For those who don't know what any of those terminologies are, and it's pretty clear that many of you don't, because there was such shock when somebody put out outside that Olmert in 1990 whatever had all these very strong comments about giving back land, and now he's in America today talking about the possibility of giving back land. But the truth is, it shouldn't surprise anybody, because why in the world would you think, if you believed in the least bit that we're talking about an Eretz HaKodesh here, so why in the world would you think that God would leave the power to determine the borders of his land in the hands of Ehud Olmert or Ariel Sharon or Yitzhak Rabin or Ehud Barak or any of these people? What? It doesn't make sense. It's the same question that compels Reb Chaim Volozhin to explain that how is it possible for the Roman emperors and the Babylonian kings to go into the Beis Hamikdash and to slash the paroches and for blood to come out? How is that possible? And he has to explain a whole theory about what was going on in Yerushalayim Shalmala. So it's the same thing. Why in the world would you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would entrust his holy land to a human being? And for you, for those of you who were barely 10 or 11 at the time, 2000, when Ariel Sharon went up to the Temple Mount, which sparked the Second Intifada, and his point was that the Temple Mount is ours, and there's no chance that anybody's gonna that we're gonna give back. And he was the biggest hawk in the entire government. So when Barak came back from Camp David in 2000 and offered Arafat 97% of the West Bank and Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and Arafat said no in an Nes Nigla, and Arafat said no, thank you, I want 100%. The country was scared. They were scared. If we leave Ehud Barak in government, we went to election in 2000. If we leave Ehud Barak in government, so then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But you know what's for sure? Ariel Sharon will not give back an inch of land to any act. Peace is very important. Of course, we're going to have peace, but we're going to have peace in the way that we determine. And we voted. I voted for Sharon, and everybody voted for Sharon. He won in a landslide that election. And of course, as we know, a few short years later, you could have put up the same signs about him as you did. It's repetition. It's recycle. You could have put up the same signs about him. And everybody's like, well, a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Look at what you said in 2000. Look at what you're saying now. How does that drive? And how do you look at yourself in the mirror? And how do you live with yourself? And the answer is because the guy's got no choice. Maybe it's a radical statement for some of you. Maybe some of you would be afraid by this. But you think that the Prime Minister of Israel has any bechira chafshas when it comes to determining what the borders of the land are going to be? And you're going to be upset. I remember in my shir that year, somebody asked, maybe it was last time, somebody asked, do you hate Ariel Sharon? I'm like, I hate Ariel Sharon? The guy's got no choice. Well, you think that he's choosing to give back, that's his power to give back a part of, or to give away part of a part of Eretz Yisrael? Of course it isn't. So the signs out there, big deal, Omar. Like the second that he's in government, it's out of his control. The second that he's prime minister, it's out of his control. The statements in 1993 and 94, when he was totally irrelevant and he could say whatever he wanted because whatever he said had no power anyway. So then let him make statements of what he really feels. But once you become prime minister, so you don't have any control anymore about what your power is. You don't have any control anymore about what's going to determine HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide what's going to determine his land. We read in the Tochacha in Bechukosai, starts Parakav Vav Pasuk Yudalad in Vayikra. Am lo sishmu li v'lo se, if you don't listen and you don't do any of the mitzvot that I'm going to say, and you disgrace my Torah and my laws, etc., etc., and it starts listing off all the bad things. That's chapter 26, Pasuk 14. Chapter 26, Pasuk 18. And if you still do not listen, If after whatever I'm going to describe now in Pasuk 16 and 17 about the enemies coming and attacking you, if you don't listen then, so Pasuk 18, I'm going to add, V'yasafni li'asraschem. So now I'm going to add something to what I did before. That's 26:18. 26:23, five psukim later. V'im be'eila lo sivasruli. And if still you don't listen, v'halachtem imi keri. And you go with me, you deal with me, carry. You know, carry is from the word mikra. You think that it's coincidence, or this is the nature of the world, or that some human being is controlling what's going on, and you continue to go on in the path of not recognizing who's really pulling the strings, and then a whole nother list of bad things. So we have it started in 14, went to 18, 23, and apostle 26:27. And you still don't listen. The point of Tokacha is not God's, God doesn't need to do a power play. It's not that, oh, you didn't listen to me? Oh, boom, you got to listen to me. Oh, you're still not listening to me? Boom, what do you mean you're not listening? God doesn't need a power play. But God needs one thing, and God wants that we pay attention to Him, and that we understand where He's coming from. So He's going to start with a little hit. V'imad eila lo sishmuli, and if we still refuse to listen, then a little bump. V'imad eila, and you still don't listen, a little heart. And you still don't listen, a little harder. I don't know what's going to happen today. It doesn't. Whatever they agree to today, it doesn't matter, because by tomorrow it could all be irrelevant anyway. Hamas says that they're gonna sabotage the whole process anyway. A couple of missiles and a couple of bombs. This whole thing, they could decide to give away whatever. I saw already Abbas's opening statement about how he's demanding East Jerusalem as capital, and there's nothing to talk about unless East Jerusalem is part of the. That's the part of Yerushalayim. That's in spitting distance from the Kotel. Forget about some strange place that I'll never go to. That's on the other side of the Green Line. He said there's nothing to talk about unless we have East Jerusalem. He threw in the Golan there for good measure, because he knows that if he shows up without saying these things, they'll kill him. The Arabs, they already had rallies all over the place saying that he was a traitor. So who knows what's going to happen today? And even what happens today, it all could change. It all could change in a matter of seconds. But from our perspective, that we know that it's not human beings that are pulling strings here, so maybe it's time for us to listen. Because what if, let's say, in 2000 at Camp David, that was a little, and then when you had Sharon there and you had Gaza, so maybe that was a little bit harder bump because we didn't get the message. And maybe this is now a new level. We're still not paying attention. A tremendous yashar koach to whoever decided that we should learn night seder tonight. So it's a tremendous thing. So people will learn Torah tonight in the chus of Eretz Yisrael, and that's tremendous. But if after today, the same way that whatever they decide in Annapolis today might not be relevant, if after today we still refuse to make change in our life, up till now what we've been doing, our lives as we know up till now, has gotten us to this point when we're at risk of losing a hefty chunk of Yerach Kodesh. So if we don't make a change of what we're all about now, if we don't make a change about I'm lazy to get out of bed, and if we don't make a change of I'm so caught up in how much I hate Gemara and how uninteresting it is for me, so I'm never going to do anything about it, or if I don't make a change in the way that I daven, if I don't make a change, most importantly, in my ben adam l'chavero, so if I don't make a change, so then the world will continue in the same way that it's always been. V'im ad eid alo sishmuli, and we still didn't listen. So the question is not tonight. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great tonight. Learn. But what happens after? What happens after tonight? Not that you should decide I'm never going to play ball on Tuesday night ever again. Some people might need to play ball on Tuesday night, and there's plenty. I mean, for those guys who are playing ball on Tuesday night, we spoke about last week already. We spoke about what you can do while you're playing ball. But even if you don't play ball, so all those guys who aren't playing ball, so where were you? Where were you when I walked into the Beis Medrash tonight at 7 o'clock and the place was empty? So, even though, there are big shows of let's have night seder tonight, but what happens after there's no night seder tonight? What happens tomorrow? And what happens to the next day? What change is there going to be so that I can say to God, I can say to Him, the world order as we know it is not good. So somebody outside says to me, Sean Taylor got killed. Yeah, I know Sean Taylor got killed. So Sean Taylor, I know this guy, he was really sad. He's really sad. Listen, it's very sad. It's really, my heart goes out to the Taylor family. But you know what? So then I move on. Because, you know, it doesn't speak. It doesn't, you know, Sean Taylor's great, doesn't it? But it doesn't speak to me. It's not part of my gut, Sean Taylor. But you know, for somebody to say it's really sad, not just sad, it was really sad that he, and again, it's on tape. Don't misunderstand me. It was a tragedy. Or it's a tragedy. And I feel for his girlfriend that was living in the house with him, and he has a daughter. You know, I really feel for him. What about, you know, in Efrat, there was a drive-by shooting this week on people going on the way to Kever Rachel, and a father and a mother got killed. I wonder if that guy even knows. Or what about, I asked that person, and you know that there's something serious going on for the country of Eretz Yisrael, would the answer be that's really sad, or be like, oi? And oi doesn't equal really. Oh, it doesn't equal really sad. And I know the feeling. Because not so long ago, I remember the Giants, when the Giants used to lose on Sunday. So I cut Seder on Monday morning. I was, you know, I was a wreck. Because what was at my core back then was Giant football. That was the most important thing to me back then. But you know what? Something had to change. It's a tragedy when the Giants lose. That's true. But is that really what my core is going to be about? So if we don't feel, and it might not be, because we grew up in America, the time that I'm talking about now about the Giants is way older than you guys are right now. So you grew up in America, you don't necessarily feel the core of Klal Yisrael or the core of Eretz Yisrael yet. But if that's you, who feels more strongly a mourning for the Redskins that they lost their safety, more than the possibility of talking about giving back Eretz Yisrael, and it's not, again, not because you're a bad person, just because maybe your priorities are screwed up. So then maybe it's time for us to evaluate and see what's going on here, and how do I get my priorities in the right place? Not because I could talk about how sad these things are, but because I feel in my core that there's something serious happening today. So after Shachar, somebody says to me, just to get me riled up, because I guess that's entertaining for some of you. So he says to me, well, V'li Yerushalayim Yircha, today, that's really important today. V'li Yerushalayim Yircha. That's really important today, V'li Yerushalayim Yircha? You know, if we would have been davening with Kavana, V'li Yerushalayim Yircha, every tefillah of our lives, then it's possible that today wouldn't even exist. But sometimes we wait too long, and we wait till we get smacked in the face with something bad, and then all of a sudden, then we wake up, and then we say, like, oh, I better save V'li Yerushalayim Yircha with Kavana? What happened to every, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, Shacharis? And after they decide, and after whatever they decide is gone. So then what's going to happen? Oh, thank God we dodged another bullet. Okay, life is normal. If we don't make a change in our life, and dedicate our priorities to Avodas Hashem, Imlos Ishmaeli, to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to do. It's, you know, the world's going in a cycle, but it's not a one dimensional cycle in the same plane. But the world's cycling, moving at the same time, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And if we don't wake up, even if we dodge this bullet today, so then what's going to happen next time? And why should there even be a next time? This week's Parsha, so you read through the Parsha, the major theme of the Parsha is the story of Yosef, is the story about Yosef being sold into Mitzrayim. And right there smack in the middle, I remember in elementary school, we skipped this story, is the story about Yehuda and Tamar. And everybody asks, why is the story of Yehuda and Tamar stuck in right in the middle of the Yosef story? Stick it in somewhere else. I don't even think that it happened chronologically like this. So stick it in somewhere else. Why smack in the middle of the why smack in the middle of the Yosef story? So I gave one answer in Machshavas Aleihem this week. I spoke about it and. But another very important answer, especially halacha lemaisa. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he always operates in having the save before the problem. Like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Barasi Yitzhahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already created the Torah before he created Yitzhahara. So what's going to happen in this parsha, this is the beginning of the end. Yosef's brothers, they sell him. That's the final, that's the hammer blow. Yosef's brothers, they sell him into Galus. That's the ultimate, the paradigm, the epitome of Sin Aschinam. And they sell him into Galus. They sell him into Galus. Lack of Sin Aschinam, Jews are going to go into Galus. But before Jews go into Galus, I got to stick in a story. Story of Yehuda and Tamar. The end of that story is Tamar has twins, and one of them is called Peretz. And if you look at the end of Sefer Rus, Peretz gave birth to Chetzron, and Chetzron down the line to Yishai, to David. Before we go any further, and before Bnei Yisrael officially goes into Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already going to plant the seed of Geula. And once the seed for Geula is in motion, now let's pick up with the Yosef story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly when the Geula is going to come. The seeds were already planted. Everything's already in motion. But there are two ways that we're going to get to the point of Geula. There's either the shortcut, or there's going to be the long cut. The long cut is not going to be pretty. If we let the world naturally run its course and get to Geula, it's not going to be a pretty picture. The Gog and Magog, and it's going to be worse than anything we've ever seen before. And if you think about the Holocaust for a second, so for Gog and Magog to be worse than anything we've ever seen, that's going to be pretty bad. So we can let the world run its course. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, listen, Rabbi, what are we supposed to daven for? God knows he has his plan. What are we supposed to daven for? I'll tell you what you're supposed to daven for. Because we're going to end up at the same point, but how are we going to get there is what we're davening for. We're going to daven that there's not wait for the bloodshed to start, not wait till rockets start flying from Lebanon again, and only then wake up and say, oh, I better daven with a lot of kavanah because people are dying and people are burning in their houses, and some guy goes to get his kid a blanket and he blows up and a rocket hits him, you know, dead on, and he blows up. I'm not going to wait for those kinds of stories. I'm going to do it right now. Yes, the seeds for Geula are already planted. And yes, they could happen, and they're going to happen naturally whether I daven or don't daven. But how many lives could we save if we do it our way, if we do it on our terms, and not let the world run its course? This, the saga of Eretz Yisrael is not going to end with whatever declaration they make tomorrow or tonight, and it's not going to end with our deciding not to play ball and doing, you know, and having a night seder. Our saga is going to end when we wake up and change the course of the world as we know it today. Now, oh, I can only do myself. Yeah, you can only change yourself right now. But by changing ourselves, we're changing the world as we know it. And if we change world order, that what's going on now, the momentum and the pace of the world that is going on, is not acceptable to me, so then there's a chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer, oh, you finally got the message? All right, let's stop with this. Let's stop with this, read through the Tochacha and all the bad things that are going to happen. We don't need that anymore. You got the message already. Let's not wait. Let's not wait until he forces us to daven via tragedy. Let's preemptive strike. Let's change our lives now, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. Not just when he comes with a sledgehammer, boom, you know, wake up. Your tzom of Nevi Nishav Hashemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will should be, in this world of evaluating priorities, where it's so hard for us to really take a good look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we really about? It's so hard. But in this world that it's so hard, He should help us to have clarity of what we're all about, what's really my core, and what can I do to start changing that so that we can get to Geula in the easiest, calmest way possible. Amen.